Why don't we do it in the road? 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 No one will be watching us. Why don't we do it in the road?
Sex has a history, and we're here to talk about it with Dr. John Bancroft, director of the Kinsey Institute for Research in Sex, Gender, and Reproduction, which is located on the campus of Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. John Bancroft himself is a distinguished authority on sexual behavior and the author of over 200 papers and one of the key texts in the field, Human Sexuality and Its Problems. We want to focus today on Dr. Bancroft's predecessor, the pioneer in the history of sex research, Alfred Kinsey, and particularly Kinsey's landmark study, Sexual Behavior in the Human Female, published 50 years ago in 1953. Welcome, John Bancroft.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's begin with the founder of the Kinsey Institute. Who was this fellow, Alfred Kinsey?
Well, Kinsey was born in 1894 in New Jersey. He got his PhD in biology at Harvard in 1919, and came to Indiana University in 1920, and initially was a biologist committed to studying variability within species, and the species that he concentrated on was the gall wasp. And then about halfway through his career, in 1938, after getting involved in teaching a marriage course at the university here, he started his huge undertaking in researching human sexual behavior.
Is that a big jump, John, from studying gall wasps to sexual behavior? Is that...
It's difficult to think of a bigger jump, Jim.
Yes.
And he died in 1956 at the age of 62, fairly young.
All right. So he's teaching this course for students at Indiana University, and that connects then to this new research project on human sexuality. Is that correct?
He was confronted by the paucity of evidence and information and knowledge about human sexuality. I'm sure he was intrigued by the subject before that, but this really motivated him to study it, and that's where he went for the rest of his life.
Right. So how did he study? How did he go about studying human sexual behavior?
Well, his principal method was to interview people, and he was exceptionally able at putting people at their ease, instilling confidence in them that he would treat their information sensitively and confidentially. And people found it extraordinarily easy to open up and talk to him about their sexual lives. He and his colleagues collected more than 14,000 of these interviews.
14,000 individual interviews.
In fact, by the time the project finished, after Kinsey died, there were around 18,000 had been collected. That's a huge undertaking. And this led to his two landmark publications, the Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, which was published in 1948, and then the Sexual Behavior in the Human Female in 1953 that you've mentioned.
Yes, let's focus on that volume, the female volume, the 1953 volume, and that can help us understand his broader projects, I think, but specifically what he learned about human sexuality, what he reported in this 1953 publication.
It shocked the United States because it confronted everybody with the fact that women were more sexual than they were meant to be at that point in history. And, for example, he reported that 50% of women had had sex before they got married, 26% had had extramarital sex by the age of 40, 62% had masturbated. Basically, he was uncovering the fact that not only women were more sexual, but if you look at his data that he collected from different age groups, that women were becoming more sexual and more expressive of their sexuality as we went through the 20th century.
That is, younger women were more sexual than older women,
right.
His data suggests?
Right.
Yes.
So there were changes during the course of the century, which of course have continued since and in some respects have accelerated. There have been obviously There were substantial changes in the role of women as a consequence of the Second World War, and these have continued in a major fashion in the second half of the 20th century, with the role of women in the workplace, and more women in higher education. In the 1960s, we had the introduction of the pill, which gave women more control over their reproductive lives. We've seen an increase in divorce rates, and patterns of relationships have changed. All of this has been part of the process of women getting more control over their own lives, and in the process, getting more in touch with their own sexuality.
But you're suggesting that female sexuality was never static and fixed, that it was changing, and Kinsey sort of walks into a moving stream here. As he interviews women in the 1940s, early 50s, that he's interviewing women, and he's finding in his interviews changes at that point in history.
Yes. If you compare the women he interviewed who were born at the end of the 19th century with women who were born, you know, in the middle of the 20th century, you'll see quite substantial changes. Taking a longer historical perspective, the evidence would suggest that we see phases in human history when you have more substantial repression of women's sexuality than at other times. And I think, you know, the 19th century was probably one of the peak times of repression of female sexuality.
This is the notion of Victorian mores and such, right? What's the reaction then in America and even outside of America to this book published in 1953, Sexual Behavior in the Human Female?
Well, you had a part of the reaction was shock and disbelief that this was American women who were being talked about, and part of the reaction was relief that at last these things were being talked about, and of course people haven't stopped talking about them since, or writing about them. So there was a mixed reaction, but it reflected the fact that at that time there was a prevailing negative view of sexuality, which required women to be minimally sexual as necessary to conform with, you know, the requirements of being in a marital relationship and so on, whereas there's a lot more to sexuality than that.
Right. So Kinsey's findings of what people are actually doing is very different from what the mainstream of society is suggesting people ought to be doing. Is that a fair statement?
And that's what caused all the stir.
What can you talk a little more about the stir, some examples of the way in which there was this negative reaction?
The book was condemned. Religious leaders were outraged by it. This was a denigration of American womanhood, and so on and so forth. Very much a sort of knee-jerk reaction from a society that just hadn't looked at women's sexuality in that way.
So was it even the point of talking about sex in the first place, or was it the actual findings that were a concern?
Both. I mean, I think it was striking. We've had so many people who are still alive today who were interviewed by Kinsey who talked about what an extraordinary experience it was to be able to talk about this with another person and how much they welcomed that.
And even women in marriages may not have been talking about these issues. Yes.
Now, I think another important part of Kinsey's female volume, which incidentally was a lot better than the male volume in many respects, was that he focused considerably on the differences between men and women. This has received much less attention. But he obviously was concerned by the extent to which men and women didn't understand each other sexually and the negative consequences that might have in people's sexual relationships. So he spent a lot of time considering that. He exploded the myth of the vaginal orgasm, which was a sort of an important point in psychoanalytic views of women's sexuality, something which really he didn't get the credit for. Masters and Johnson got the credit for that subsequently. And he also got some things wrong. He came to the conclusion that sexuality of men was more psychologically determined and psychologically conditioned, whereas women's sexuality was more biologically conditioned. If you look at his own data, a better explanation is the other way round, actually. Women's sexuality has been controlled and shaped by social forces across the socioeconomic spectrum, showing the changes through history that we've already commented on. Men's sexuality did vary across socioeconomic groups at that time and still does to some extent, but is never suppressed to the same extent as women's sexuality.
Why didn't he get more credit for these findings that you're talking about now?
Well, people were sort of fixated on the sort of raw facts of women's yes. sexuality rather than the more subtle interpretations. And rereading Kinsey's book, it's amazing how relevant it is today, the questions that he was raising, the questions that he couldn't answer at that time. And the last third of the female volume was given over to a very scholarly review of the literature on both men and women's sexuality, which I don't think has been surpassed in scholarship at any time before or since.
You made a comment earlier that you thought the female volume was better than the male volume. Is that because there's a comparative perspective in the female volume, or are there other strengths?
Yes, there are other strengths too. I think he was a little less dogmatic and opinionated, much more referring to the literature than had been the case. He had matured quite a bit as a sort yes. of social scientist over those yes. few years, and it reads a lot better. It has this excellent scholarly essay. He certainly was getting a better... Well, in some respects, he was getting confused about women's sexuality. He thought he knew about it at the time he wrote the male volume, but it was from a rather male perspective. And he realised it was more complex, and as I've pointed out, he got some things wrong, but he was engaging with the issues. And I think one of the things that I often wonder about is if he'd lived a bit longer, how much further he would have got in really understanding this and explaining it.
Yes. He died how many years again after the 1953 volume?
3 years.
3 years later, yes. You, I sense, have a great respect for Alfred Kinsey as a scholar. Is that
yes, I
correct?
Do.
Can you just talk about that a little bit? What is the basis of that respect?
The field of sexual science has not been particularly rich in intellectual ability. It's not been the field that's attracted the superstars of the academic world. He stands head and shoulders above other researchers in the sexual field. He still does in terms of his scholarship and his ability. He was also incredibly committed. The enormity of his project, I think, makes us all pale into insignificance. And he had this sort of meticulousness and attention to detail, which is the making of a good scientist. He also had great integrity.
He worked very hard, I gather.
He worked very hard, yes. Too hard. That's why he died so young.
Yes. We should note that the female volume has been reprinted. Is that not correct?
That's
a few
correct.
Years ago, and you've written an introduction to it.
And it's been reprinted again just this year.
Yes.
Yes, and I wrote an introduction to the reprinting, which was my... my sort of assessment of Kinsey's work 50 years on.
Yes. Where would you place him in the history of the American women's movement or the worldwide women's movement? Is he a hero of that movement, in your opinion?
Well, he's had a mixed reception in the women's movement, and it varies. I think it has varied over time. I think there are some feminist scholars who, first of all, recognize that the changes that he went through himself when he got to know and work with other women, people like Emily Mudd and Mary Calderon. And I think in many respects he has contributed to the women's movement, although in some respects, you know, some of his reactions and interpretations were somewhat anti-feminist.
And he is a man of the first half of the 20th century.
Right, that's right.
Yes, yes. I gather that the work of Alfred Kinsey continues, at least the work of understanding human sexual behavior continues at the Kinsey Institute today. Is that correct?
Yes. I think Kinsey would be quite happy with what we're doing at the moment. We're very much building on his work and focusing on individual differences and in a more theoretical way and a more experimental way than Kinsey did, but very much a continuation. And I think we're throwing light on the current debate about, you know, the nature and the important factors in women's sexuality.
What do you like best about this man, Alfred Kinsey?
What I like best about him, I think, was his compassion. Having read his correspondence, he was an incredible respondent to everybody that contacted him. That was a time when he had to use a typewriter. He was compassionate about people who were suffering. I like that about him.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with John Bancroft, the director of the Kinsey Institute for Research in Sex, Gender, and Reproduction. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Why don't we do it in the road?